Well, I'm talking about health, Vinny. I'm talking about health in this segment. I'm thinking about, you know, and I know you and I, we've been online a little bit. We've been hitting up the vaccine issue here. That's a very hot topic right now, and many other factors as well. I know you cover this a lot on your show, but if I were to say, Vinny Eastwood, what's your opinion on how to achieve health? What would you say?
I would say I'm the wrong person to ask because I'm reasonably unhealthy. What I can say is what not to do if you don't want to get killed in terms of the general medical practices and things like that. Like, I'm not really that healthy, but I know how to take care of myself in the interim. I've not seen a doctor or a dentist in nearly 15 years because I haven't had any health problems or dental problems to warrant seeing one of those people, because I have a limited amount of nutrition to keep viruses and illness at bay generally, and I have a wife when I'm really, really sick to bring me cups of lemon and honey tea. So let's talk about in general the threats to your health. First threat to your health is believing somebody who thinks they know something about your health without researching into it yourself. You know, I'm a doctor. I know everything about health. Oh, yeah? How many years did you train at medical school? Oh, 7 years. And how much time did you spend studying nutrition? None. Okay. And who came up with the Hippocratic Oath again? Hippocrates. And was Hippocrates a nutritionist? Yes. But they don't teach you any effing nutrition. Who said, what did he say? Let food be thy medicine, and let medicine be thy food. So naturally, don't teach anybody about food during the practice of medicine.
Yes, but of course that's because they're trying to make some money, Vinny. I mean, this is an industry here. They got to sell those pharmaceutical drugs and make sure that they have customers coming in the doors regularly.
Well, the fact that people keep believing them is why people don't, you know, understand. Is they're like, you know, they couldn't be lying to us this entire time. I mean, what would they be doing it for? The billions upon billions upon billions of dollars in the most profitable freaking industry in the world, vaccine industry, pharmaceutical industry. You know, why would they do that? Why would they make heaps of money off of selling nothing but lies and illness and death to people and nobody catch them up on it? Well, because if you start speaking out against it, you have A1 educated morons who come out and tell you party lines and things of that nature that their vaccine propaganda scumbaggery pieces of trash come up with ages ago. Or there'll be the regular morons who don't know anything about anything at all anyway and just keep coming in and repeating all the propaganda lines and things of that nature that the pharmaceutical industry pumps into the airwaves. So you can't really win if you're trying to argue. And I've said for a long time, if you're trying to convince somebody of something that conflicts with their general beliefs, facts and evidence are not going to be enough, son.
All right.
Never underestimate the power of denial.
Absolutely. Well, speaking of denial, I've seen you've been in some pretty heated debates or discussions online, specifically regarding vaccination. And I know that this is something that's really big right now because in the media, there's, of course, this story of how all the people that are deciding not to vaccinate and are deciding to maybe try to build up their own natural immunity to these diseases are somehow creating diseases. And they are the ones that are spreading measles everywhere. We had this situation at Disneyland or whatever. I find it funny that it was Disneyland, by the way. But anyways, this is somehow being, we're seeing a return of measles that is this deadly disease that kills everybody and we have to vaccinate against it. Even though it was normal not too long ago that people would just be getting together and getting their, you know, getting the measles and then having immunity for life. But anyways, this is something that is being used again in the media to try to push this agenda of vaccines. I think it's because people are educating themselves and are refusing to be a part of that program more and more. And I think they're just trying to maintain that customer base. I don't know. What do you think?
How many people in America are currently on some kind of medication? I think it was 1 in 3. So, and I think it's 1 in 5 are on more than one medication, and it just kind of, the stats just keep getting worse from there. You get people up there who are taking 20, 30 different types of medications. I don't know if you've seen the episode of The Simpsons where the doctor tells them that you're so sick with 100 different diseases that they all kind of unbalance each other and they don't work. You know, it's kind of like trying to get 10 people through a doorway at the same time. They all just kind of get stuck. And that's not entirely dissimilar from how pills and side effects work. You have so many side effects that they all kind of counteract each other and you kind of think that you're all right. but it's basically like this. When you're about to die, you will accept anything that will save your life. Anything that somebody tells you will save your life, you'll accept, usually without question, usually without researching, and you're probably willing to pay any price. So you will die really, really sick because of what they've given you, because they told you that what they're given you not only is very expensive, but ineffective. But I think that some people are starting to see through this. Thank freaking God. But yeah. I don't know what the solution is, man. Like, you get to this point in your research where you realize that you know the truth, and also realize that just knowing the truth and being able to explain it to people in a cogent fashion and making them look like idiots because their arguments have no validity simply doesn't work. Because you're not dealing with people who came to a rational conclusion or anything like that. You're dealing with brainwashed people, okay? Brainwashed people, they don't have the ability to think. It's been eroded away, rotted out like a tooth with too much Coca-Cola attached to it. You know what I'm saying? And if you're incapable of reasoning, then people are stupid. They're wasting their time trying to reason with these people. There's only about 5% of the population in New Zealand, staunch 5%, mind you, who refuse to vaccinate under any circumstances. And a small study has been done, and in fact, I think it's not only just been done in New Zealand, but a number of studies around the world have concluded that the unvaccinated children suffer less diseases overall than the vaccinated children. There was a study conducted on the Amish communities in the United States whereby they determined that out of the 50,000 subjects that they interviewed, only one or two of them had autism. And those two were adopted into the Amish communities after being vaccinated. And Amish communities refused to vaccinate point blank. So that's two out of 50,000. The average rate of autism in the United States is now 1 in 180. In fact, that's an old statistic. It's probably much worse. It's been getting steadily and steadily worse and worse over time.
And they also they've changed the parameters by what you declare to be some form of autistic spectrum disorder. Now they're saying, oh, well, it's only these symptoms that we're going to classify as autism. And I think they had to do it because otherwise the statistics might be more like, you know, 1 in 10 or something ridiculous like that because of so many different variants that happen within the brain when the brain tries to defend itself from these foreign substances, and it literally creates brain damage. So we're seeing a wide spectrum of mental disruptions in children and in adults, and they don't want to admit that it's actually a lot worse than maybe they would like to admit.
It's brain damage from heavy metal contamination in the vaccine disorder. All right, spectrum disorder. That's what it is.
Yeah.
Okay, so we've got the spectrum of brain damage disorders now. Now it starts to make a little bit more sense. When did vaccines start getting used, did you ask? Well, they started getting used when all the vaccines started getting produced, which is roughly about the time that all the diseases that they were being produced to combat were already at the vanishing point to virtually non-existent in the first effing place. So you know what's really great about releasing a product at that time? Then you can claim at that time that all these diseases got wiped out because of us. Really? You got any way of verifying that as a factual statement, research, studies, double-blind tests, something like that? And they go, no, but when we did inoculate people against the Spanish flu in 1917, General Henry L. Stimson reported that the only people who actually got the Spanish flu were the people who got the vaccine.
Yeah,
you can't make this stuff up. And
polio vaccine too was an interesting one because you know a lot of people think that sock vaccine was what halted the polio epidemic, but we know now that was actually something that was causing cancer in a way that we've never seen before, and a lot of people they don't know that that's actually been validated and proven. It's a scientific fact now, and yet it's, you know, we're still giving the credit to this vaccine for saving us from polio.
Mm-hmm. Well, it seems legit. I mean, look at it this way. To believe vaccines are solely responsible for eliminating major diseases, you'd have to ignore a number of things. For example, every single 20th and 21st century discovery that affected the spread or severity of disease, right? Including any and all advances in medicine, sanitation, diet, food preparation, packaging and transport, nutrition, technology, education, vitamins, soap, and disinfectants. So if you can ignore all that, yes. Then you've got to claim that vaccines actually do something good. Unfortunately, you don't. Now, again, polio, the virus itself, almost gone by the time they introduced the polio vaccine. Guess what popped up just after the polio vaccine started getting into everybody that wasn't polio? Chronic fatigue syndrome. You see, pharmaceutical companies are kind of like God. They giveth with one hand, and with the other hand they taketh away.
Well, and I guess the craziest thing about this whole debate is that it's getting to the point where anytime you hear a mainstream media or like a mainstream media news outlet, or you read an article, or you talk to an uninformed parent who just read that article or watched that mainstream news piece, they're all saying that we, the people that are trying to have more of a natural, holistic way of health, they're actually communicating these diseases. They're the ones that we're a threat, and what we're doing is dangerous. And they're creating this stigma out there that anybody that is not a part of this program is somehow an enemy to the public. And when you have legislation coming through reclassifying what the word terrorism or a terrorist actually is, they're really starting to associate heavily. Basically, if you don't go along with the program, you're a terrorist and you're going to fall under these laws. And now you don't have free right to choose what goes into your body or what does not. I think that's one of the, I mean, regardless of what side you're on regarding this vaccine issue or health issue, the fact that you don't have the free right, or you're very soon to not have any right at all to choose, is what I find to be also very frightening.
Yeah, well, that's basically medical tyranny to a large degree. And when we had a swine flu outbreak here in New Zealand, 6 people died of it. At the same time, about 45 people died of the regular flu. So naturally, the news reports, pandemic, written in blood. For the 6 that died of the swine flu.
it's a pandemic, right, yeah.
And a man named Alan Smith had probably one of the worst cases of swine flu in New Zealand at the time. They took the x-rays of his lungs, and they were just completely full of fluid. Their lungs are supposed to be, I think they're either supposed to be white or black, and whichever scan that they took, they came out the exact opposite color than the ones they were supposed to be. Had hairy cell leukemia. They had him on an ECMO machine, an iron lung, you know, doing all his breathing for him. And they're like, hey, you know what? This guy's a lost cause. Let's just pull the plug on him. His family actually had to sue the hospital using Mei Wang, who's probably one of the most... That's not a joke, by the way. Her name's actually Mei Wang. And and talk about showing the size of your... She managed to get them to give him intravenous vitamin C. And you know what happened the very next day after he had that? All his symptoms started to disappear. And they were so denying of it, you know. They're like, okay, well, he's getting better, so let's just stop the vitamin C altogether. And then he got rapidly worse. And so they put him on the vitamin C again, and then they go, okay, well, this is still not good. Vitamin C costs about $10 to kill a case of dengue fever, by the way. And whereas around a chemo and all the drugs and everything that they give you for all these other services and whatnot will cost thousands of dollars. And in New Zealand, doctors are actually able to be given kickbacks by the pharmaceutical industry to the amount totaling no more than $120,000 New Zealand dollars per year in pharmaceutical company kickbacks for prescribing specific types of medication over others. So if you have a drug that doesn't work, but you get a kickback from it, versus a drug that does work that you get no kickback from, if you're a greedy sociopathic power-craving, moronic scumbag, which drug are you going to prescribe? The one that enriches you most. It's pretty straightforward. And it's been known for a long time that psychopaths gravitate towards positions of power. It's been known that the industries that they tend to infect and get very successful in and get right up to the top of the power grid are medicine, law, politics, business, and entertainment. Those are the top five, to a lesser degree, religion. And it seems to me that if you're going to look at what the medical industry does, its main stated intention is to save lives. Okay? Now, Vinny's two principal assumptions of life. Number one, if it comes from an official source, it's probably the opposite of whatever they're claiming it is. And number two, if it's real tasty but you can't make it in your kitchen with ingredients you can find, then it's a soft kill bioweapon. It seems to me, according to the statistics, the American Medical Association is now America's leading cause of death. Kills more people than terrorism, kills more people than war, kills more people than cancer, kills more people than car crashes or anything. In New Zealand, the intended medical side effects of our practices here kill three times as many people as die on the roads, and that's not including any mistakes. If you included mistakes on top of the intentional deaths that are caused to people because of the medical industry, it would be the same as the American Murder and Death Administration, whatever the hell it's called, being the number one cause of death. So let's come down to brass tacks here. The people who say they're trying to keep you healthy are trying to kill you. And so if they're telling you that another group of people are going to be very dangerous to you, it means that those are probably the safe bet and you want to be heading towards those and learning as much about them as you humanly freaking can.
Well, brilliantly said, man. And it's funny because my mom, who went through hell for probably, I don't know, 30 years, 30 plus years with the medical system, you know, the whole cycle of, we don't know what it is, so we're going to operate. We don't know what it is, so we're going to prescribe you this drug. And, well, that drug has these side effects, so we need to prescribe you this, 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 and this to counteract all the side effects from all of these different drugs we've just given you. And, oh, that didn't work, so we're going to re-diagnose you and then put you under the knife again. And my mom went through 16, you know, minor surgeries, countless major surgeries, all kinds of medications you wouldn't imagine, and went through hell for the majority of her life. Until all of a sudden, she started going off the medication and started pursuing more healthy diet, just getting a more alkaline type system internally going and really just taking control of her health without using medication. All of a sudden, she's getting back to normal. Her state of health is improving. And I found it funny when I spoke to her about this. She says, well, I've always looked at doctors as practitioners because, I mean, they call themselves their medical practitioners because they're still practicing. They haven't nailed it yet. They're just practicing. They're practicing on you. They're using you as guinea pigs. And maybe one day they'll nail it. But it seems to be that the predominant view is that, well, the reason we have all this death from all of our products is just because, you know, we have to test it out. And, it's just collateral damage, right?
Yeah. And meanwhile, the Food and Drug Administration says publicly that cannabis has no medical benefits, while at the same time applying for the patent to own the cannabis genome to make medicines from it. And I made a meme the other day. Side effects of medical cannabis. Happy, hungry, thirsty, sleepy. Side effects of medical drugs. Seizures, brain damage, suicide, death. Decisions,
exactly. Oh my god. All right, well, Vinny, they're gonna kick us off in a minute here. What do you got coming up? Are you got any exciting shows coming up, man?
Oh, I don't know, to be honest.
Come on, they're always exciting.
Well, American Freedom Radio is coming back on air within the next week or two, if I remember correctly. So I'll be heading back on there 4 days a week. That'll be 9 till 11 Central Time at AmericanFreedomRadio.com. The website's not up as yet. This is all background stuff. And I am making a new documentary as well, which will be released on the 4th of July. And in the meantime, I simply need a beefier computer to edit it together because my current one is kind of getting old and slow, as they do. And the new one's going to cost like 6,000 New Zealand dollars, which is 4,000 US. So if anybody wants to come in to the VinnieEastwoodShow.com and make a donation to help towards the making of the documentary, I'd really appreciate it. It's going to be fun. It's going to be complex. It's going to have a lot of big names. And it's going to be awesome.